1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Survivor is an ingenious reality-based television program, the most successful of its kind. On Thursday night, Survivor features a group of people who compete in a variety of ways to be the one lone survivor to win $1 million. And you probably recall, as we all recalled, season one and the Richard Hatch winning. And then, of course, on to season two, we went Africa and Australia, rather Australia than Africa. This year, they're on the Marquesas. And you're all familiar with what Survivor is about. People competing, using different skills in a variety of competitions, voting each other off or voting one or two members off at the end of every episode until there is one survivor left and that person wins $1 million. Although, is it $1 million still? Or is it $1 million still, or has the price gone up? It is. Roland Schwinn is with a group called Fat Pride out of Palo Alto, California, an organization of people who are considering filing a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against CBS. I got to tell you, it just seems like every time you turn around, somebody is suing somebody. But in this instance, anyway, Mr. Schwinn, you feel that CBS discriminates against individuals who are overweight. Your organization is called Fat Pride?
That is correct, yes.
And your organization is about people being proud of their body type.
Our organization is about individuals not feeling intimidated because of their body weight. That is correct. Our organization members are on an average of 30 to 40 pounds overweight, but we are in good health and we enjoy life, and that includes food. And what we've seen the Columbia Broadcasting System do is consistently, routinely, and with malice aforethought, exclude any and all individuals from the cast of the various survivors who are not a certain body type. That is a categorical violation of the People with Disabilities Act. It is also a categorical violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1965.
So you are planning a civil lawsuit?
We are planning to sue them civilly, yes. That our members should be allowed, at least, if not to be a part of the Survivor Series itself, that a separate Survivor Series be produced that is inclusive of individuals who are comfortable with their body type, who are carrying extra weight, but certainly are not the least bit having a problem with that. And so we would like to see a program produced that we can be included in, and they would not have to give up their production rights to the current program and so on.
That's asking a lot to ask a television show to produce a TV series strictly...
Well, the fact is that our rights have been violated. Every week, we sit down and watch this program, Survivor, individuals who are aesthetically acceptable to America, individuals who have an acceptable body type, individuals who have an acceptable health regimen. Our health regimen and body type is acceptable to us.
You say that you guys are an average of 30 to 40 to, in some instances, 50 pounds overweight, and you want to have your own Survivor show.
We want to have CBS produce a Survivor series specifically for those of us who are weight, happy with our weight, who are comfortable with our size, who are comfortable with the kind of diet regimen that we are on. We don't want to have to do what other people do in order to be on Survivor.
Then what kind of a program would this Survivor be? What kind?
There are a variety of competitions that CBS can concoct for a Survivor featuring individuals who are not weight-challenged but who are comfortable with their weight. We're comfortable wearing a bathing suit. We are comfortable being in the out-of-doors.
What kind of competitions?
What we have proposed as an adjunct to our lawsuit, any number of competitions that would be appropriate for individuals who do carry extra weight. These can be anything.
For instance?
Collecting seashells, building sandcastles, things that for the average person, I'm not just talking about weight-challenged people now, Phil. I'm talking about the average individual would find very challenging. Not these individuals who are Marine Corps wannabes or Remo Williams revisited or some kind of Indiana Jones. We are talking about...
All right, collecting seashells, building sandcastles...
Building bonfires, doing a pull-up, chasing a bird on the beach. All very acceptable.
Yeah, but how interesting is it to see some people that are 30 to 40 pounds overweight chasing birds on the beach or collecting seashells?
I think it would be very interesting.
Why?
Because those activities, quite frankly, are activities that are enjoyed by most people. And because we are weight-challenged but comfortable with our weight, it would be a challenge for us. It would be a challenge for us to build just build a cover with some leaves and that kind of thing, to bury each other in sand. This is another proposition. So there are different things that we could do that we think would be very challenging.
All right, I understand that you are having dinner right now, and I don't want to interrupt your dinner.
No, it's quite all right.
But I will ask you at some point to stop eating your dinner so we can continue this interview.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449, some of the information. Frisbee golf?
We could play frisbee golf, yes. These are certainly not activities that the real survivor would do because those people are so ripped and buff and they are the epitome. They are Charles Atlas revisited, and that's fine. So I'm talking about things that those of us who are 30 to 40 pounds overweight, weight challenged but comfortable with our weight, who would do that would be quite interesting. Riding on a belly board, just paddling on a belly board. Our challenges will connect with the mass of America, not the foolish daredevil stunts the survivors on TV are doing right now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Roland Schwinn.
Most Americans, Mr. Hendry, are like this, you have to understand.
No, I don't know that most Americans... Yeah, well, most Americans are overweight. I don't know if they're 30 to 40 pounds overweight.
But they do identify with these activities.
All right. You're asking a television network to produce a separate Survivor series for people that are overweight. Don't you think it's a little humiliating for the rest of America that may be overweight to see you guys chasing birds on the beach or collecting... You know what I'm saying?
You find it amusing, Mr. Hendry, but I can tell you, most Americans identify with it.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing... Don't you think it would be humiliating for most people who are overweight to see other... Pardon me for using the word fat.
We do not mind the word fat at all.
All right, let's use the word fat.
I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
All right. Watching fat people chasing birds.
You can laugh all you want, Mr. Hendry. We're completely comfortable with our body type. It doesn't matter to us at all.
All right. Chasing birds on a beach, collecting seashells, and covering each other in sand. Don't you think that's humiliating for most fat people?
If they're humiliated... then they are individuals who are not comfortable with their body type, and they should be ashamed of themselves. This could be the key reason why the ratings for Survivor have gone down. The people want to see their own kind.
Roland Schwinn with us. Hold the line, Mr. Schwinn.
Absolutely.
He believes that CBS should produce a separate Survivor show for people that are fat, because most of America is overweight, and this is, or they're going to sue. They're going to sue, and as they put it here... We are considering suing CBS till they bleed from every hole. Now, that is an outrageous press release. Outrageous. But he wants them to put a separate Survivor on. Among the competitions for fat people on the CBS, chasing birds on a beach, collecting seashells, and covering each other in sand. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Roland Schwinn with Fat Pride in Northern California, an organization of people who are fat and proud. And Mr. Schwinn, question for you right off the bat before we go to some calls. You know, what makes you think that anybody, as I said, wants to watch fat people?
Well, 99% of America can't do what people on Survivor do. 99% of those of us watching that show, in no way could we do what those people are doing. A Survivor program devoted to those of us who are fat and proud would provide television for people that they can identify with. When we talk about chasing birds down a beach or covering each other with sand, or collecting seashells, or setting fire to a leaf, this is what most people do.
You want to have people tune in and watch?
I don't know if people will tune in, but I do know that federal law dictates we are entitled to at least have the opportunity to our own program.
Because I'm not going to tune in once a week to watch fat people sit around and set fire to leaves.
You may not want to tune in, but we have a constitutional right under the Americans with Disabilities Act to have our own show.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chuck on the Phil Hendry Show. Chuck?
Mr. Swin, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, the first individual that won Survivor, if you remember correctly, when it was all said and done, he lost like 30, 40 pounds because he was an overweight man.
Well, it wasn't 30 or 40 pounds.
That's what he said on national television.
No, he did not say 30 or 40 pounds. And most of the weight that he lost before he was on that program, not while he was on the program.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go to the second show then. How about Kentucky Joe, the guy that ran around with a feather up his butt? He wasn't fat.
I don't know what you call fat, but I'm talking about members of our organization that are 50. I am saying the federal...
30 to 50 pounds overweight is fat, so this guy was 30 to 50
pounds. He was not 30 to 50 pounds overweight, and what I am saying is...
Do we want to call Kentucky Joe and find out for sure?
He might have been 10 pounds overweight. Television, especially CBS, is discriminating to fat people. They've got gays, they've got blacks, they've got Hispanics. There are no fat. The only person on television with any weight at all is Cameron Bradhart on The Practice.
Well,
and
I totally
the federal
disagree
law,
with you because
you disagree with me
how?
Well, wait a minute. I want to, Chuck.
In today's society, you're saying, what are you considering fat then?
Right. Chuck, I want to ask you a question, Chuck. Hey, Chuck, I want to ask you a question. Your complaint is simply that Survivor has already had fat people on.
And that's bullcrap.
And
that's
bullcrap. Fair to everybody.
That Survivor has, the producers of that program, Mr. Schwinn, have had fat people on.
They have not had the kinds of competitions that would be even-handed and fair for individuals that are overweight.
If you remember correctly, most of these individuals several times couldn't do several of the activities because they were overweight.
What do most people do
so
when they go to the
beach? Fair. It's a team activity.
What do most people do when they go to the beach? What do most people do when they go to the beach?
All right, hold on. Mr. Schwinn, if you're eating dinner, you need to...
I'm sorry.
You need to swallow your food.
What do most people do when they go to the beach?
What do most people? They play,
they
play in the sand, they go swimming.
Why
they sit in the
isn't
sun.
Survivor addressing those activities?
Why does the beach have anything to do with it?
Well, because that's where most of the survivors are on the beach or beach.
In Africa? Africa was
well,
the beach.
You know what I'm saying.
Wait a minute.
No, I don't. There's
Am I gonna...
three of them. There's...
No. We could play with a blow up rainbow colored ball and things like that, normal things.
Wait a minute. What makes me want to tune into Survivor and watch people play with a beach ball?
I don't care whether you tune in or not. CBS has a federal obligation to produce a program.
Wait a minute. Now you want CBS to produce a show that they'll lose money with, that's going to cost the money to produce, so you guys can throw a beach ball around, nobody will watch it, and you still win $1 million.
They've been fair. Why can't somebody overweight stand on a pole and stand there longer than the next person next to them? Those are the activities that happen now.
And then they have people kayaking out in the waves.
What?
They have people kayaking out in the waves, having to paddle boats and everything. Give me a break, will you?
You give me a break.
No, sir. You unfortunately
they have been
don't
fair.
Understand
CBS
federal
has been
law.
Fair. CBS has been fair with the laws, and I think that you need to lose
America
the pound.
Yeah, boy, no kidding.
Oh, well, it's easy to laugh at fat people. I've been laughed at my entire life.
I've been fat before, and I've lost weight. It's called willpower.
You
it's saying
to
push away, push
pole,
away
can,
the plate.
I don't want to. I enjoy food. You ask me to stand on a pole.
So do I, but it's unhealthy.
I can barely climb a step.
You can barely climb up a step.
Yes.
So CBS needs to produce. All right.
Oh, you don't doubt. Why? How do you know whether I'm fat or not?
Well, the way you're talking, you can't take food out of your mouth and talk on the telephone.
Sir, I'm having dinner. I guess you don't eat dinner. Is that right?
Well, when I call into a radio show, I'm not sitting there eating.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Maybe the guy has the common decency to eat before he calls.
I had the rest of the little dinner. I'm swallowing.
Jesus. Swallow whatever. What are you eating anyway?
Thanks, Phil. I love your show.
Hey, Chuck.
What?
Are you having a good laugh?
What do you have in your mouth?
I have potatoes and garlic. I have some cheese, and my wife is trying to experimentation with basil. Why? Why do you ask?
Why do I ask? Well, you happen to be on a national broadcast right now, and I can't understand a word you're saying with the cheese squirting out of your face.
I can tell you right now, Mr. Henry, we will sue CBS if we do not get a program where we are allowed to come on camera and poke lizards with a stick and then run away.
Yeah, okay, man. What? Poke lizards with a stick and then run away.
Yes, because that's what most people do at the beach. It may seem frivolous to you, but I would say that you'd have to ask those individuals in charge of the programming studios, why did they make a show like Survival in a first place if they weren't willing to have a program that would allow access to
I know you probably don't care what I'm about to say, but I can't understand it.
Oh, don't talk. You can understand me.
No, I can't. Well, I know by the cadence of your voice that you said something like, you can understand me.
Wait, so you understand me, right?
Nobody is going to watch a show where fat people chase birds on the beach or cover each other with sand. And therefore, CBS can't make any money, and therefore CBS is going to put that thing on the air. Well, then you're misusing the federal courts. Good God. He's fat and he's proud, but he wants to sue under the Americans with Disabilities Act that the CBS should put a fat survivors on the air. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. We talk with Roland Schwind. He is with the organization Fat Pride, a group of people who are fat and proud. And they believe that a survivor show showing overweight people building bonfires, setting fire to leaves and running away, a program featuring old people poking a crab with a stick, collecting seashells, digging big, deep holes and then burying themselves in them. This is what most Americans do when they go to the beach. And the other thing here that I think is absolutely absurd, I don't know who's going to tune in to watch a bunch of fat people sitting around a fire roasting marshmallows. Why are these activities so simple and simple-minded? Because that's the only thing that they can muster up the wind power to do. That's the only thing they can get the strength to do. And so they want CBS to produce a Survivor show with those activities. I told him nobody's going to watch it. He says he doesn't give a fat rat's ass. He's going to do it anyway. And on top of that, he's suing. Well, you know what? If he gets the show on the air, maybe I will watch it. 1-800, if it's a slow Wednesday night or Thursday night. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show. And our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Pick up a copy of our Best of the Year 2001 CD, Bring It, available at the Phil Henry Show website or by calling 877-616-7445.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Having caused controversy for his homophobic lyrics, Eminem is portrayed as a gay performer in a new Pet Shop Boys song. According to MTV Online, The Night I Fell in Love tells the story of a homosexual boy who falls for a rapper after a concert and follows him back to his hotel room for a private performance. The song doesn't refer to Eminem in name, but the lyrics clearly indicate it is him. The lyrics refer to Stan in the tune, which is an Eminem song and mentions the singer's homophobia. Pet Shop Boys singer Neil Tennant, who is gay, confirmed that the song is about Eminem and said that if Eminem's music's going to be provocative, the group is going to be provocative back. You know, one thing you can never, if you're straight, you can never mess with gay guys, like, mentally. Don't ever get into a battle of wit or repartee with those guys, because they're generally going to win. I mean, they've been taking crap their whole lives. What's one white boy rapper in the whole mix of jackasses that they've had to, you know, deal with? Eminem's defense of the homophobic lyrics on his albums has always been that he's not speaking as himself. He's speaking as a character, and he's representing homophobia in America, Tennant said. I thought it would be quite interesting to take that method and just to imagine a scene where a boy meets a famous rap star backstage at his concert and is surprised to discover he's gay and ends up sleeping with him. Just to mention, just to present rap in this homosexual context, I mean, there's obviously gay rap stars. Eminem has not spoken publicly yet about the song, but his mentor and producer, Dr. Dre, who was also referred to in the song, did. We needed another song anyway for Eminem's upcoming album, Dre joked with MTV. They just gave us a concept. Oh, my God, I hope they can stand the backlash. That's funny as hell. What backlash, Dre? What, you don't like being called a fag? Now, see, here's the thing. I could call Dr. Dre a dripping queen on this program, and, you know, he don't listen, so whatever. Eminem's new album, The Eminem Show, is due in stores June 4th, although Dre didn't make it clear whether a retaliatory song would indeed make it on the album. Tennant said that he doesn't want to start a war of words with Eminem, but said he likes the rapper's records and thinks he is brilliant. The Night I Fell in Love is featured on the Pet Shop Boys' new album release, due in stores April 23rd. Well, I know how this is, because I did the same thing once. I fell in love with a rap star. His name was Dr. Dre, and I had sex with him. No, I called somebody a queer once, and all hell was to pay for it. I mean, it was just the whoa. But I was doing it as a joke. I ain't going to tell you who, and I ain't going to tell you why, and I ain't going to tell you what, but I can assure you I was kidding. But you know how that goes, right? 1-800-449-8686. You know, I came out on the air once and I said that I was gay, right? Because it's not a problem. It just isn't. So I thought I would go and tell the audience, I'm Phil Hendry and I want you to know I'm gay. This was back when I was in Miami years and years ago. And I remember the people calling in and saying, well, I hope you feel good because you've just committed media suicide. I thought it was hysterical that somebody would have an issue with it. Here's the thing. If you're gay, you're gay. If you're a straight guy and someone calls you gay, a lot of guys have a problem with that. I'm not one of them, and I never have been one of them, because I figure the only person who needs to know what my sexual orientation really is my wife, if you think about it. If you think about it, why does anybody else need to know, right? So that goes just as much for straight people as it does for gay people. And the funny thing about it, when I hear straights say gays are shoving their lifestyle down our throat, it never occurs to them that straights are shoving their lifestyle down everybody's throat every day of the week. So if it's about shoving a lifestyle down a throat, you know, I mean, straight people are out there far more provocative and far more demonstrative with their lifestyle and with their sexual orientation and with their sexual choices than anybody else. But be that as it may, somebody calls me queer, it's never been a reason for me to put my fists up. It just isn't. It's never, ever threatened me in any way. Never made me feel threatened. Never made me feel as if I was less of a man. Never made me want to duke it out with someone. Now, somebody trying to shove something down my throat, yeah, but... Yeah, I like the way they use that term, shoving it down. They keep shoving it down my throat. Really? Do you have the sensation that there's something caught in your throat?
Yes, I do.
Well, maybe it isn't the gays with their lifestyle. Might be something else, Ace.
Oh, you said I'm gay?
No. No, far be it from me. Shoving it down your throat. I got something to shove down your throat. But if I called you queer, that bug you? Craig's kind of thinking about it now. I don't know whether I'm going to get punched out or not. Here's the whole thing. Somebody says you fag or you queer. If you're gay, then it's a statement of fact. If you're straight, then they can't be serious. They're just trying to get you angry. Either way, it has no bearing on, you know, well, I would say it has no bearing on reality in the case of a straight guy. In the case of a gay guy, you're just sort of stating the obvious. So exactly what is it you're saying? I worked for a program director. A guy had just got into town from another city. He was a program director at a radio station I worked at. And it was in Los Angeles. And this dumbass said to me one night, "We went down to West Hollywood last night and cruised the queers." I said, "You're putting me on." "You know, man, it was funny as hell." I said, "What'd you do?" "Just went down there and looked at all these queers and gave them some stuff." And I said, "Jesus, I got to work for you? What are you talking about?" I said, "Listen, you idiot. Don't ever talk to me about that stuff again, okay, man? Because if you do, I'm liable to do something that's going to hurt you very bad. And then, guess what? I'll be fired. And I really need this gig." This is back in the day, you know. Guy wore leather pants, a real moron. Kind of cute. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So you know what else is back are those birds, man. So I think I'm going to go out and get myself some bird shot. Get myself a shotgun and just go to town. Those swallows. Coming on back to Capistrano, baby. Boy, I tell you what, Capistrano must be just one big dung heap because that's all that's happened in my house. Now, somebody called yesterday and said, "Get some balloons." Yeah, Roger. I ain't getting no balloons. I'm going down here to Home Depot, and I'm getting myself one of those rubber owls or whatever the hell those things are. I've got a bird out there. You got a fake? How bright can a bird be to get scared off by a dummy bird? A rubber dummy bird. Dumb birds, man. So I got to stop on the way home tonight. I think I'll do that. I hope Home Depot's open like 2 a.m. Because when I say on the way home, I mean on the way home. I won't be getting home till about 2 o'clock this morning, okay? So I hope they're still open. Let's go wheeling in there and get myself a big rubber owl and go get those swallows out of my life. It ain't no thing, you know, but my house has, like I was telling you guys, all kinds of animals. I guess what I got to do is just turn it over to the animals. Let the rabbits crap everywhere and eat everything. Let those coyotes eat my cat. That'd be kind of cool. Let the possums live in the garage. Let the rattlesnakes just roam wild and free. I've never lived anywhere where I've had more problems with animals. And I bet you the animals are saying the same thing. They ain't never lived anywhere where they have more problems with a dumbass like me. Some bald guy moved in, and now I can't do anything. I can't go and eat the grass like I used to. We've had snakes. We've had raccoons. We've had wolves. We've had coyotes. We got swallows now. And we had the most recent attack we had was, well, I told you about the rattlesnake. Oh, yeah, gophers. These things are turning up in my pool. Remember that pool that I told you guys about I was building all those years, all that sweat, all the months of toil and labor? We finally got the thing built. Now I'd say every month there's a gopher killing itself in my pool. Some kind of depression among gophers. Found two of them. I found one floating in the skimmer, the filter, and another one just laying there in the bottom of the shallow end. I said, "What the hell is going on with these damn things? They're killing them. They're offing themselves." Gophers have got to be really messed up. They can't swim. You know, don't you think most mammals have a natural instinct for swimming? I mean, I don't care. Anything can swim. Gopher, he's dead. He hits the water, he's dead. He doesn't even know, if you'll pardon the expression, he don't know how to dog paddle. I found that gopher, he's just stretched out, you know, with the X's over the eyes, just stretched out dead. Picked him up with it, yeah, just the X's over the eyes. Tongue sticking out. I picked him up and I chucked him down the hill. There's another one. There's another one for the pile. Got a gopher holocaust going on at my house. And then frogs. Oh, my God. Frogs like you'd never believe. Frogs like out of a science fiction movie. That's what I got. Every night with the... All over the place. Down the hill, up the hill. Way down the hill, I hear... And then, well, that's kind of cool. It's down the hill. I can't... And then one of the... There must be a frog in my backyard who hears these guys goes... And my wife digs it all. She loves nature. I said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to kill me a frog. She says, no, because I just love it. It's just so natural. I said, you know, I wish I was you, man. I wish I was my wife. She got nothing bugs her. Nothing. All right, stuff does bug her. But the cool, you know, normal stuff doesn't bug her. Like, the stuff that bugs my wife is if somebody butts in front of her in line, things like, you know, everybody would be bugged about that. But she's not upset about the sound of frogs. She thinks the bird's crapping on the house. That's great. And, you know, raccoons, who cares? So what did I just say? Rabbits, raccoons, frogs, snakes, coyotes, and the swallows. One, two, three, four, five, six kind of animals making my life a real dream. Anybody want to come over to my house and crap on it, you're more than welcome. Come on over and crap on my house. The birds are doing it. The rabbits are doing it. People can too. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Karina, hi, go ahead.
Hold on, let me transfer you to him.
Hello, Valeria.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
No, this is Hernan Villa from Prudential. I called Mrs. Valeria Vargas. She has one in life insurance with Prudential.
Do you realize you're on a radio show right now, sir?
On the radio show?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Go ahead, pal.
Bye-bye.
Brian, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. I'm on my way home. I live in Salt Lake, but I used to live in California.
How about that? Guy's trying to sell me insurance. Jesus.
No. I used to live in California, and I got a solution for your problem with the swallows.
Oh, no, man. This is day two of that. I got the solution.
There?
I'm getting a rubber owl, man. I'm putting it in the backyard. I got a bobblehead Dodger doll. That's going to do the job. I'm going to get a picture of Rick Mundy and stick it up in the window. Huh? This guy's car phone sucks. Hello? All right, Brian, thanks. I don't need any more solutions for the damn swallows, man. Here is Earl on the Phil Henry Show. Earl?
Hey, Phil.
How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good. Hey,
good.
I can't believe I got on here.
No problem.
Hey, I was listening to you earlier talking about the gay fag situation, you know.
The whole gay fag situation? Yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean... would I be offended if somebody called me that? Yeah, it'd bother me. Would I punch him out? No.
Well, now, why would you punch him out?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. Then again, I mean,
if it was a hostile act on the part of somebody at a bar, like, you fag, I would probably just, I mean, I would ignore it. I'm not about to engage in fisticuffs over some guy calling me a fag. If it's a friend of mine, whatever. I mean...
It'd be like two black people when they talk. You know how they talk? What they say to each other, a white guy couldn't say to begin with.
What do you mean it'd be like two black people talking to each other?
Well, you know, when they...
You mean when they call each other a fag?
Well, no, like when they,
Well, you ain't allowed to do it.
Absolutely
You're
not.
White. But okay, you don't get to use that word. Look, they say that and they understand what they're talking about because it's a friendly way of communicating.
Sure.
A white guy calls another white guy fag, it's hostile. So
well,
it's got nothing whatsoever to do with the way black folks talk to each other.
It's like where I work, you know, hey, you fag.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So you guys call each other fag at work as a way of endearing each other to each other? I mean, it's a brotherhood statement?
Oh, no, don't misinterpret me.
Well, but when you
happen.
Use the example of African-American men calling each other N, it's a familial statement.
Sure.
And it's, you know.
And that's acceptable between them. But I was getting back to this. you know, I got an issue with the whole gay situation.
Get out of here. I can't understand you for love or money. Chris, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How I wanted to ask you about my friend's place that you're donating all that money to.
Yes, sir.
Do you know, they help homeless kids, right?
Yes.
Do they teach them, like, survival skills, work skills, that sort of thing?
They don't necessarily teach them that. They resource different areas that can teach them job skills.
Oh, very good.
They also have, I think there's computers on site that they can use to access different job websites. They also have different companies that they're in touch with that can train the kids. Do they train themselves? No, but they have different organizations and business entities that do that.
Man, we need something like that out here in Denver. It's crazy watching all these kids starve on the street.
Well, why don't you start one?
Well, I'm just a poor cook, you know. I mean, it's a
great
idea.
Well, the guy that started my friend's place did it out of the trunk of his car.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, I have a friend who runs something similar to that, but it's really more for guys that are recovering from drugs.
Okay, good luck. Here is Jerry on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Oh, Phil.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, this is Jerry. Listen.
How you doing?
I just wanted to call and tell you that I've checked your commentary on the Middle East. It's just been right on the button, and I really enjoying it and couldn't say it any better myself.
Thank you.
And that deal the other night about the priest, man, it was just hilarious. It's the best you've done yet.
What priest?
Oh, what was his name? I can't...
Father McQuarters. Oh, yeah.
Yes, man.
Yeah. He's getting to be a big one with us here on the old Phil Henry Show. We'll bring him back.
I drive a truck at night, and, man, you just keep me going. It's just great.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. See you later. Bye. All right, that's all the phone calls. Do you understand what the other guy was talking about? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We do appreciate all of our truck-driving friends out there, even you fags. Nah, I'm joking. I'm joking. You know it. All right, don't forget, our website features now one of the all-time beautiful pieces of merchandise in the history of radio, the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. You heard me right. The Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a beautiful royal blue and black with the Teds of Beverly Hills insignia on the back and over the left breast pocket, and is available on the Phil Henry website, that's philhenryshow.com, for a limited time. I'd suggest getting it for Mother's Day, get it for Father's Day, get it for Flag Day, get it for Memorial Day, get it for Arbor Day, get it for Halloween. In fact, you ought to go door-to-door wearing it for Halloween. Get that Phil Henry Show Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt today on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Mm-hmm.